On to item 9, legislative update. Karen, are you on the line and taking the lead on this?
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We do have a legislative update for the board this morning. You have a memorandum summarizing the legislative update in your packet. We'll cover some state legislation, but also because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen many executive orders coming from the governor's office as well as federal law. So we'll cover those briefly as well. Starting with the executive orders, as you recall, the governor issued an order proclaiming a state of emergency to exist in California as a result of COVID-19. The date of the emergency was March 4th, 2020. And since then, the governor has issued several executive orders to deal with a variety of aspects of the pandemic. One of the orders in mid-March had to do with letting the residents know that they have to follow orders and guidance that they receive from state and local public health officials with regard to the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, the executive order issued by the governor also temporarily suspended some of the open meetings rules in order to allow state and local bodies such as the retirement board to continue to meet, hold their meetings, but do so remotely, telephonically, or via other electronic means in order for social distancing guidelines to be able to be followed. And the same goes as to the public's participation in the meetings. That can now be done telephonically or in other electronic means so that the members of the public can still participate in the meeting, attend, and make public comment. In addition to that, the governor also suspended some of the restrictions having to do with public agencies rehiring retirees in order to handle the pandemic. And so some of those restrictions on having a retiree provide additional service post-retirement to the public employer, those restrictions have been temporarily suspended. Moving on to federal laws.
Can I have one question here? It's not addressed, so I think the answer is it's not there. But have there been any accommodations discussed, or are they included in any of these things regarding continuing education? The requirement for board members, it's going to be increasingly interesting in the next year or so whether or not people are going to be able to rack up the same number of required hours that they're supposed to have. I wondered if you hear anything in the grapevine about that.
There has not to date been any change or suspension of the requirements. What we are seeing is that most, if not all, of the education providers have gone virtual. And so if you look at Sackers and Calipers, they are offering virtual participation in the various roundtables and presentations, conferences. So education hours are continuing to be available. So I have not heard any discussion about suspending or changing the education requirement for board members.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Moving on to federal laws. The federal government enacted the Families First Coronavirus Response Act on March 18th. This has to do primarily with mandatory paid sick leave for reasons related to COVID-19. That new law is administered by the U.S. Department of Labor, Wage, and Hour Division, and they have over time provided various guidelines relating to these laws. In addition to that, there was the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, the CARES Act, that was enacted on March 27th, and that addresses the economic consequences of the pandemic. And in addition to providing financial relief to workers who may be out of work or experiencing loss of revenue, as well as small businesses, it also provided some tax relief for coronavirus-related distributions. That particular law is administered by the U.S. Department of the Treasury, and with regard to taxation relief, that is handled by the IRS, and they do have on their website guidance for individuals on how to deal with the taxation aspects of coronavirus-related distributions. Moving on to state legislation, AB 992 has to do with open meetings, local agencies, and social media. It addresses the ability of the members of a legislative body to participate in social media and discuss, make comments on social media, but it clarifies that they should not be conferring or discussing matters that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency. Next, AB 2473, Public Investment Fund. This bill would exempt from disclosure records regarding private credit loans made directly by public pension funds in the alternative investment asset class. And this is a reaction to CalPERS announcing that they will be going into doing a direct private debt type deals. And so, and that's one of their asset classes for their investment portfolio. And so this law would protect from disclosure records that have to do with that borrowing and loaning funds. AB 2659, Public Agencies Information Practices. This addresses an existing law regarding state agencies regarding their maintenance and disclosure of personal information. And it would add a requirement that the agency have rules of conduct that include security awareness and training policies and procedures. AB 2676, California Public Records Act exemptions. This particular bill would exempt any critical infrastructure information that is submitted to the Office of Emergency Services for use by that office from disclosure. Next, we have AB 2937, and that would be a change to CERL, to the County Employees Retirement Law of 1937 regarding non-service connected disability retirement. So the current law in the CERL says that if a non-service connected disability is due to intemperate use of alcoholic liquor or drugs, willful misconduct, or violation of law on the member's part, the disability retirement amount has to be the annuity only without a pension. So it provides for a lower benefit essentially if those one of those conditions is met. What this bill would do is it would remove the retirement board's assessment regarding the intemperate use of alcoholic liquor or drugs as a condition for receiving the annuity plus the pension. This bill originally, you may recall from our discussion of the SACRS legislative platform, this was included. It was something that LACERA, the Los Angeles County Retirement Association, was pushing, and we talked about sort of the philosophical and policy issues surrounding this that Lucera expressed. The SACRS Legislative Committee did recommend pushing this type of legislation forward, but they recently withdrew their support from this, their sponsorship. And so this is now still a pending bill, but it is not being promoted by SACRS. And I believe the reason for that is that it is a benefit change, and many see the retirement associations such as SACRA as being an administrator of the benefits and not within their role to increase or decrease the particular benefits. One other thing that I'll note about this is the way it's written right now, AB 2937 would not be mandatory. It's an optional provision, and in order for it to apply to the county, it has to be elected by the County Board of Supervisors by resolution. And so it's an optional, it would be an optional provision for counties to adopt if they wish.
Karen, it's John. I absolutely can't quite grasp what the distinction is between an annuity and a pension. I've always considered them interchangeable. What are they talking about?
So an annuity is essentially a return of the employee contributions over time with interest, and a pension is an additional component that comes from the
All right.
Yeah. And so the actuaries can probably explain this better than I can, but for the purpose of this bill, what it means is that it's a higher amount if you get an annuity plus a pension. It's a lower amount if a member only gets the annuity. And so essentially, the way the law is written now is if a member, for example, abuses drugs and that causes a disability, a non-service connected disability, the board determines that, then they get a lower amount because their disability was caused by their own use of drugs. And so Lucera has taken the position that that is not in line with philosophically with how the society should be treating them. And so they would like to see them getting the annuity plus the pension,
Clearly, we don't have that in our operation of the statute. We don't do that. So Sarah.
We do have that, yes.
We do have that. Have we ever applied it?
Yes. It's very rare, but yes.
Okay.
So moving on to SB 783, that's just a technical legislation that addresses some corrections of cross-references, nothing substantive there. Next, we have SB 931, Local Government Meetings, Agenda and Documents. This has to do with requests by members of the public to see the agenda and the materials that support the agenda, and it would require in cases where, for example, the agency has voluminous agenda materials and they maybe are not able technologically to email the agenda and the materials to the recipient, they would have to email what they can but mail the rest. And I think the intention there is to make sure that the member of the public is receiving the entire packet somehow, whether it's via email or mail. And lastly, we have SB 1297, Public Employees Retirement. This is a bill that was introduced by Senator Morlach. You've seen other pension reform type legislation from Senator Morlach in the past. This is another attempt to do that. I have a few bullet points here explaining what the senator would like to see happen. I haven't seen any of these types of pension reform legislation from Senator Morlach actually become enacted. I did look at his website to see if there's an explanation for this. The website does address a variety of legislative bills, but does not mention this one. So I don't have any further information about what he's sort of, how he explains why he would like to see this change in the law. And that concludes my remarks. I'm happy to take questions.
Any questions for Karen?
Karen, this is Will Pigeon. Question, one of the, another bill that I've heard of, which I guess just passed the assembly, is AB 1945, which is supposed to address some language regarding first responders. Are you aware of that?
Not specifically, but I could look that up. Is that with regard to SERL benefits?
I don't know if it's regard to SERL benefits specifically, but it does mention SERL.
Yeah, I'd be happy to take a look at it.
Thank you.
It may. There have been a few bills relating to coronavirus type situations in workers' comp, creating rebuttable or conclusive presumptions of service connectedness if someone does have a coronavirus disease, COVID-19. I don't recall the names and numbers of those bills, but this could be one. And the goal there is for the legislature would like to address situations where obviously first responders are more at risk and may experience contract COVID-19, and they would like to make sure that they're able to tap into workers' comp benefits more easily.
I think we're doing that at the county right now. This is David. I think the county has recognized that if one of its first responders or essential employees comes down with COVID, that the presumption is that it's associated with the work.
Yes, that's exactly it. So that has not happened with SERL. So any of our CICERA members who may have a disability application with regard to COVID-19, there is no, at the moment, there is no such presumption of work-relatedness based on having the disease.
Anyone have anything further for Karen?
Yeah, real quick. No, if the work-relatedness is recognized by the county as the employer, that doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be recognized by CICERA with respect to disability retirement application.
The workers' comp arena is completely separate from the SERL disability arena, and there's different rules. There's some overlap, but there's different rules governing each. So that's correct.
Okay.
Scott?
Yeah, Karen, I was just going to say, I think that this last Friday was a deadline to get bills out of policy committee. At least it was my understanding it was. So it may be that if Morlach's bill didn't get out of policy committee, it isn't going anywhere anyway. I didn't get a chance to check it online. I didn't get a chance to check the bill status, but you can follow any of these on the legislature's tracking site. So to see if that bill survived.
Yes, absolutely.
Any other questions or comments for Karen? Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.